Bonnie and Friends. Bonnie Simon. Jacaranda FM.
The Waterboy is a hole of the moon. I'm Bonnie. Bonnie and Friends, Wayne Hussey, all the way from Brazil via England into South Africa. When did you arrive? Early this morning, right?
Yeah, it was this morning at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock-ish.
Do you like flying?
I don't mind it. I mean, I don't mind the kind of long-haul overnight flights. You know, I take a few sleeping pills and a bit of, you know, a few wines.
Have you ever written a song on a plane?
Lyrics, yeah. Mm. I mean, I don't. You get me ukulele out on the plane and strum along, you know. But no, yeah. I mean, I've sat there before with backing tracks and when I've had to write lyrics, I've done that. Yeah.
The Waterboys, Mike Scott. You know Mike Scott and the guys, and you toured with them as well. Tell me a little bit about that in the '80s.
Well, we didn't tour with them. I mean, when I was in the Sisters, we played a few festival shows with them. But Mick, the original drummer of The Mission, was also a huge Waterboys fan. And our tour manager was theirs. So we decided one time we had some time off. So Mick and I joined their tour and just went around being, you know, a couple of liggers hanging around the band while they went to like three or four shows on their tour, which was great. You know?
What made them stand out from anything else? Because when I heard their music for the first time, it sounded like sort of Dire Straits. They stood out. Queen stood out. You know, they just had a special sound.
I think there's certainly a spirit to the earlier Waterboys records. It's just joyous. It's just the joy of making music, and you can hear that in the songs. And you know, there's an exuberance, maybe. I don't know. It's just something that touches me.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, you then you worked at the Russell Hobbs factory in Bristol. What the hell were you doing there, Wayne?
I was actually making kettles.
Thank goodness you became a musician.
Well, we all have to work, you
but
know.
Was it a tough life? I mean, getting up early in the morning, a long day.
Yeah, I mean, it was, but I mean, I did it for a summer holiday, so to make some money so I could buy a guitar, a proper guitar, not a Woolworths. And so I would get up early in the morning, yeah, you know, like people do.
Yeah.
Go to work. I did that for 6 weeks, and it was an education. And basically, my job was, you know, part of the line. The kettles would come along. I would pick them up, dip them in acid, clean them, put them back on the conveyor belt, and move them on.
Did you like authority then, your bosses? If they screamed at you, whatever, did it freak you out or not?
Not really. I think it was fairly decent work, and I just kept my head down. I do remember whilst I was there, actually, it was the summer that Mark Bolan died. And he was kind of my first real big hero musically. And I remember hearing on the news, you know, earlier one morning there that he died, and made me cry, you know. It was a weird thing because it felt to me like part of my childhood was gone then.
You had Mark Bolan posters, T-Rex posters, on your wall.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, he was my first love, really, when it came to music. For a lot of people, for my generation.
And then the Sweet Fan Club, what happened there? Yeah, what was that all?
I joined the Sweet Fan Club, you know. I mean, I was into the Sweet, Slade,
wow.
T-Rex, all that glam rock
Ballroom
stuff.
Blitz, remember?
It's brilliant. It's still a great, exciting record.
And there's a live thing with I think there's a drum solo for about half an hour or whatever. Fox on the Run.
Well, I don't know about that, but I never got to see them live, but I heard that live they fancied themselves as a real heavy rock band with all the soloing and drum solos and bass solos and stuff. So I'm glad I didn't really get to see them. The pop singles they made were great.
And Slade, they were around that time, and Noddy Holder and the guys as well. We're going to talk about that. You teamed up with them to do a song, a Christmas song.
Yeah, we did later on, yeah. That was
Why did you go to Liverpool? I mean, you obviously lost a bit of interest in Liverpool and the church there and whatever. You wanted to become a rock star, so you went to Liverpool. What was this girl? I wrote her name down. Do you remember? Pat,
yeah.
Pat in Liverpool, your first love.
Well, she wasn't my first love, but she was a big love. And, and she lived in Liverpool, and I just got tired of living in Bristol cleaning kettles, so I thought it was time to strike out on my own. And I mean, being a Liverpool supporter, being a big Beatles fan, And I just fancied, you know, going to Liverpool. I mean, like a lot of people, I could have gone to London.
Mm.
But I thought, you know, I did think at the time London was too big. It was, you know, it was easy to get swallowed up there. And I thought Liverpool. And I knew people there, obviously, because of Pat and other people.
Mm.
So I went to Liverpool, when I was 18.
What was it like when you got there, the vibe? Where did you stay? In a little flat somewhere? Do you still remember?
I do. I mean, when I first stayed there, I stayed with a family for about a week or so. I stayed with a family in the church who were members of the church. But I stayed with them for a week or so until I found a flat, which was not far from Anfield, actually. And it was cold water, no hot water, no heat, but it was in the attic. I felt like a real artist, you know, 18, no money and living in this cold water flat. And I suppose I look at it back at now and kind of idealistic about it and romanticize it, I suppose. But, I was a young kid out in the world on my own for the first time. It was exciting.
Who was the first person that's famous now that you met when you got to Liverpool, still playing in bands? I know you met Budgie there from Susie Budgie and the Banshees.
I started going to a club called Eric's, which produced bands like Teardrop Explodes, Echo the Bunnymen, Pete Wiley from Wah. I think the first person I met Holly Johnson. He was the first openly gay person I ever met in my life. I'd have to say Pete Wiley. From
A Story of the Blues. Yeah. What a song.
Yeah, I mean, he was a larger-than-life character. I mean, I didn't know this at the time because I was an innocent young boy from Bristol, you know, churchgoer. But he was speeding off his head, you know. He was obviously... And he kept going into the cubicles all the time in the toilets with other people. And I couldn't work out what they were doing. And I was like, what are they doing in there? And then, of course, a few years later, I was doing it myself.
Mm. If there's anything you want to know, if you want to, any good memories of the mission, and which song should Wayne perform in this hour, and he's going to do another song for us a little later on. Get in touch now. You can follow me on Twitter as well, at Barney Simon. Post your comments there. And at Jacaranda FM, right? At Jacaranda FM. Cabello is, he's going crazy, my producer, and he's going to take more photos and whatever. And there are some fans here, Wayne. You have to just turn to your left quickly. Oh, there we go. They came to see you. Right, we'll be back in a flash. Don't go away.
Barney and Friends. Barney Simon. Decorate.